At Delta, we know Mike in 8C prefers reality TV to reality. So we provide more than 1,000 hours of in-flight entertainment. On the next flight, 8C is Mandy, a foodie. So we offer all types of food options. Because at Delta, everyone flies their own way. Delta, keep climbing.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Myrtle Beach. You know what's better than getting away to a beach? Getting together at the beach. Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. They've got over 2,000 restaurants, live music playing all day and night, and endless attractions. This place was made for playing hard and beaching easy. Welcome to 60 Miles Where You Belong. The beach, Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Plan your trip at visitmyrtlebeach.com.
Yeah, yeah, what do you want? Beak or jaws? Feathers or fur? Sharp teeth or feet with claws? Whatever's preferred. They'll grant you all last requests to steady your nerves. Then podcast the body parts, get severed and served. Bring your weak shit where the wolf and owl are. That ain't just a mistake, that's an awful howler. Both of them are known to pull up at your shows. Have the crowd witnessing a murder like they rolled in with a gang of crows. Fuck the censorship, let them see the whole thing. They stay dressed to kill, never sheep's clothing. Dark enough to turn the sun to the moon, you'll see nothing. All you hear is a huff a puff and a... Expect killings, red spilling and flesh ripping. Impressive in it, the death bringing his head spinning. Just kidding, every word in his song's about two grown men dressed up as a bird and a dog.
Welcome to the Wolf and Owl bonus episode. It's me, Tom Day. No, it's me and Tom Davis.
Wow,
I'm hungover.
Are you hungover? How out of 10, how hungover are you?
7.
I'm on a 2-day hangover at the moment.
Right.
Like I was pretty loaded 2 days ago.
I'm thinking about you know, you start thinking about giving this shit up, don't you? Do you know what I mean? Writing a day off.
Writing 2 days off is savage, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's today, I can tell you now, I'll do little and nothing. I'll regress to like a fucking teenage boy just sitting in my pants playing like Xbox or something. And yeah.
Bearing in mind that you and I are supposed to be trying to lose weight at the moment, how will you take a break from your dietary restrictions today, do you think?
Yeah, I might look. The only thing I'd say is yesterday, in my really hungover state, I played 18 holes of golf. And then today, I did get up first thing and do a massive session of weights with Stan the Man. So even hungover, I have to try and do that. That isn't even because of losing weight. That otherwise, I'm the worst person in a hangover you'll ever meet.
Mm.
I get so low. It's unbelievable.
So you're hungover, but you managed to do a massive session today.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's admirable. I've done nothing so far. Like, not nothing. Like, I'm in bed now.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah. I can see that. And you're looking like... To be fair, you look okay on hangover. You look kind of bright-eyed, bushy-tailed. Like, your hair looks nice.
Thanks.
Yeah. I find it's 2 days after your sort of fit skin sort of dries out. You'll get a couple of spots around your nose area. Did you ever have bad spots as a kid or anything?
I did, yeah, really bad spots.
Did you? Yeah. You had what? Not acne, but just bad spots.
I remember I had one like on the bridge of my nose, and it sort of took over. It just took over that land space to the point where it was so big and it was so dominating. I started to try and get myself mentally ready for the fact that might be what my nose looked like from then. Do you know what I mean?
It was like an old drunk's nose.
Yeah. It was honestly, mate. It was like so massive.
How old were you at this point?
This is the frightening thing. So it first happened when I was 14, but then every few years after that, up until when I'd say early 20s, it would sort of every now and again come back.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. It's really horrible.
Like a really bad sequel of a movie.
Do you know, like
Jaws 2.
Yeah. As you've said it, I've just remembered. I packaged that away in some dark recess of my mind, and talking to you about it now. It's brought it right back. It was horrifying because I thought, I remember what this is really, this is, you know, when you sort of get desperate to try and get rid of something.
Yeah.
So basically I got like an exfoliant, like it's almost like sandpaper thing for your face and basically tried to fucking grate it off. And
why didn't you just squeeze it?
Well, I did, but it was just still like, it just wasn't budging.
Did pus come out? Did it explode or?
It didn't explode. It sort of just, you know, like, you know, like how I imagine it's how you jizz in your 70s. Just kind of, just like a little tiny little fucking.
A little speck comes out.
Yeah. Like a bit of dust came out.
Like somebody sort of like casually looking out of a window just to see who's coming, whether it's the delivery driver.
Yeah. But then I sort of grated it, like not grated it, but, you know, sanded it, and it sort of went down a bit. But then that part of my nose was a different colour to the rest of my face. And then I thought, oh, fuck, I've actually permanently changed the colour. Mate, I, as I'm saying this to you, it sounds mental. This is what I was going through. This is like in my early 20s. I was like, you know, when you're fucking so hung up on what you look like, you know, little did I realise that I had a lifelong career of being an ugly but at that time,
I remember like my first acting job, and I got one similar sort of space, but it was just sort of round to sort of like just above the sort of like right nostril. Mm. And I literally woken up the day I was doing this filming, and it was like genuine, like so big, like a massive whitehead. And then people were like, don't pick it because it would, you know, it will just make it worse type of thing. Like, you know, they'll be able to, but it, the pain of it was searing. It was a searing pain. Mm. Right. So I thought, I need to do something about this. So I squeezed it and that exploded. I mean, that, you know, when it just on the mirror, like, you know, like a cartoon.
Did you film that?
I wish I had, because I actually sit and watch those videos sometimes.
Oh my God, they are. Yeah. No, you don't.
I do.
I don't. Why the fuck? Why are those videos? It's horrible.
I find them so interesting.
Oh God, it's horrible, man. Even thinking about it now makes me feel rank. It's disgusting.
Really? I love it when you see someone with like a massive, like fucking, like ingrown hair or like a like blackhead that they've.
I was scrolling through TikTok. I saw somebody like on a dog. Sort of squeeze a thing out of a dog's back.
Oh, really?
I was like, honestly, mate, I wish I hadn't said it now. You can't unsee that shit.
No.
It stays with you for a while, that kind of stuff. Anyway,
one of my friends, I'll finish this story and get on to the next one. But I squeeze it. And then,
most people take turns with telling stories, but you fucking loaded it up like a fucking... anecdote jukebox over here. Yeah, go on.
But then I was like, what I don't want to do is it to come back. So I squeezed it and squeezed it. But then, like, when I looked at my nose, I'd squeezed it so much that my right-hand side of my nose just looked so big. Mm. So then I just had, like, an ice cube on it when I turned up to, like, for ages, just held an ice cube to it.
It's so desperate, isn't it?
Oh, it's so pathetic. And then the makeup woman's just, like, looked at it and she went, oh, my God, this is... Yeah, well, I don't know what, you shouldn't have picked this. And I was like, yeah, okay, I know that now. And then she was going around, she got her boss to come and look at it, like the main makeup person, and, you know. And then, like, in the thing, you can sort of see I've had so much fucking powder put on it. Mm. Like, it's really dry. It's horrible.
Yeah. When disgusting. They put that much powder on it, it's like icing sugar on a fucking pastry, isn't it?
Yeah, it is so like gross. It looks so horrible, and it looks so, because you know what it is. It's like when they put chalk down to find like fossils or whatever, and it just like covers the circumference of the fossil. So it's sort of everything else that's normal, but then you've just got like a real, like you can see the sort of sweaty, like the sort of like sepum still coming out of it. That's just eating up the dust.
It's just, it's sort of formed a paste or something. I don't know. It's so disgusting. It's so
right. All shots must be from Tom Davis's left side of his face. Nothing straight on.
Yeah.
Talking of like ingrown hairs and like such, one of my friends had an ingrown hair on the back of his bollocks.
Okay. How did he first become aware of that?
Well, he was checking his bollocks, as we all should, for testicular cancer, making sure his nuts were okay. And also probably just scratching and playing with them a bit anyway.
Did he say to you, look, Tom, I don't mind you telling this story, but can you do me a favour and tell people that I was checking my nuts for testicular cancer?
I've not run this past him, and and shout out Ryan. I wouldn't want to.
Oh, good. Yeah, let's name him. I haven't run the story past him, so let me just give you his name.
And then he said he felt like a searing pain. When he touched his...
the back of his ball bag.
Yeah, the back of his balls. He's like, oh, what the fuck's that? So he gets a bit worried, obviously. And then at the time, he didn't have a girlfriend, so he had to get one of our other mates to check and see what it was.
Yeah, because otherwise that would have been a treat for the missus. I know if that happened to you or I. It's just Kat and Lisa. Lisa, have you finished your breakfast? I don't know, before... Now, before you tuck in, come and check this out. Can you have a look at the back of my ball bag, please?
I think it's grown a nose.
I've tried sanding it down, but nothing's working.
It's other mate, and I was to shout out the guy who looked, what a legend of a person, do you know what I mean? And I won't name him because just in case he gets embarrassed, but
you don't mind naming the guy with the ingrown hair, but
but he tells his story all the time anyway.
Okay, so not on podcasts, I imagine.
He's never been on a podcast.
Is it Joe Rogan? Is that
Ryan Rogan? Joe's but so he checked it and he said, look, mate, this like this thing, and it, apparently it was like, you know, like sort of massive. It was, you know, because where it had grown and grown and the hair had sort of grown, the hair grows, right, and it makes a sort of like lump bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
He said, I need to sort of, we'll go down the hospital to go to the doctors and sort of see what they can do.
Yeah.
Mother, I was nearly named him then, came to the pub and told us all what had happened. And then sort of, Ryan basically had to go to doctors, and the doctors then he had to surgery to get it out because it was so embedded and so long.
So what position do you have to be then for that surgery? On all fours or something?
Get ready for doggy style. I think he had to be on all fours. Yeah. When he acts it out when he's had a few drinks, he always does it like he's on all fours.
Right. Okay.
Fine, yeah. Fine. But he said the pain was unbelievable.
So this has become a bit for Ryan then.
Yeah. When he's had a few beers and stuff, he tells people. Yeah. I mean, he's got like a couple of kids and stuff now. So yeah. I haven't actually heard the story from him for a while, but yeah.
Once you have kids, you sort of think I'm. You had kids and you think, I'm a father now. Maybe I'm too old to be telling this story about that ingrown hair on the back of my ball bag. Maybe the times of me clambering up onto the dining table and getting on all fours are behind me. That's what I said to the doctor.
In all fairness, I've carried the torch now. I've made sure I have to bring it up in sort of conversations. But yeah, and then they got it out. He said it, but yeah, and then I showed him the hair after.
Why?
So it was really, because he wanted to see it. Yeah, but he said
the hair.
Yeah, but I said that would have been a good one to film. because I love watching those channels and stuff. Like, sometimes, like when we've been at family parties, me and my cousins will all sit around and watch them. Catherine finds them disgusting.
Yeah. What a horrible insight into your family. Just you and your fucking cousins all gathered around a laptop watching videos of fucking spots being. Anyway,
you know, worse than acne, I think, is bacne.
I don't think I've had bacne, actually.
No, I've not. I've had a couple of spots on my back, like most people, you know. Mm. But yeah, bacne is, yeah. Shout out to anyone who's ever suffered from bacne. My thoughts and my condolences are with you. And
condolences? You're a legend.
Well, you know what I mean. Yeah, that's what you say if you feel sorry for someone, right?
Commiserations, though. Oh. My sympathies. My condolences are when somebody's died.
I use condolences for football, if someone's
just so you know, whenever you say I use it for, that gives it no extra gravity. But just so you know, when you go to me, yeah, but that's what I use it for. I don't give a shit. Okay.
Yeah, but have you never used condolences for?
I've done it in a jokey way, like, you know, if somebody's team gets relegated or has a complete, you go, my condolences.
Yeah, but I do that, but seriously,
when you're shitting, yeah. And what you're doing is you're seriously using that word incorrectly. Okay. In fact, do you know what? I'm going to look this up. Should we look this up?
I look it up, because I beg to differ on this one.
You beg to differ on this one, do you?
Yeah.
Okay. Meaning of, here we go. An expression, this is the definition. An expression of sympathy, especially on the occasion of the death of a person's relative or close friend.
Especially, but not specifically, is the
well,
what I'd
not,
say.
Not specifically, no.
but so you admit you admit you're wrong.
Okay, listen. Let me just explain something. If you want to keep saying condolences when somebody's dropped a donut or whatever, that's fucking up to you. I don't give a shit. Okay.
Yeah, hungover rom's my favourite rom. You've got like a candle wick of patience.
Oh, I love you, mate. Okay. Time for some emails. This is from Mort.
Mort?
Mort, yeah.
I've never, you know what? Shout out Mort, because I didn't know it was a real name. Do you ever... I knew it's in Family Guy, but...
Yeah, and it's also one of the Terry Pratchett books is called Mort, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean...
Why are you doing that? Why are you getting all dismissive?
It's just... No,
it's just... What's wrong with you? Why?
No, I did that.
No. I, like, why? I say one of the Terry Pratchett books, and you respond to that like I've just got my dick out in public.
No, it's just... It's just the way you try to sound so cool when you said it. You tried to sound so cool. Like, you wouldn't, you were like, yeah, and also it's one of the words. Yeah, also it's one of the names of one of Terry Pratchett's books. It's so, like, you ran your hand through your hair as you said.
Oh, shut up. Don't embellish shit like you do the fucking ball bag story, mate. Okay.
Are you a big Terry Pratchett fan?
No, not massive. But I remember, like, being a kid, and I read Mort. The only reason I'm not the only reason, but one of the reasons I remember Mort is because that's one of the three of them that I read when I was a kid. Yeah.
But, actually, by the way, someone who caddied for me went to you taught at school. A kid called Bradley. He's actually spoke very highly of you. You were quite funny in class.
I bet you were really. Funny.
Actually, it was very nice about you. But I did say that if my, I'd be seething if, like, the first description that someone had of my kid's math teacher was that they were hilarious. And also, I will say this, Bradley really struggled with keeping up with the scores yesterday.
This episode is brought to you by Etsy. Sound the gifting panic alarm. You need to get an amazing gift. Wait, no, the perfect gift. Relax. Now you can use Gift Mode on Etsy. Gift Mode on Etsy takes the stress out of gifting, so you can find the perfect item for anyone and any occasion. It's easy. Just tap or click Gift Mode on your Etsy app or Etsy.com. Then answer a few short questions about who you're shopping for and what they like. And Gift Mode instantly gives you curated gift ideas based on hundreds of personas. Now it's simple to find gifts made by independent sellers for all the people in your life. So whether you need a housewarming gift for the new homeowner or a birthday present for the pickleballer, Gift Mode has you covered. Need to find the perfect gift? Don't panic. Try Gift Mode on Etsy now.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Myrtle Beach. You know what's better than getting away to a beach? Getting together at the beach. Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. They've got over 2,000 restaurants, live music playing all day and night, and endless attractions. This place was made for playing hard and beaching easy. Welcome to 60 Miles Where You Belong. The beach. Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Plan your trip at visitmyrtlebeach.com.
But any indictment me and Jamie needed about your maths teaching was the fact that this guy couldn't add 6 and 8 together, which is 14.
Nice, good. The mental arithmetic there is very impressive. Okay. Hi, Rom and Tom, brackets love the podcast. For context, I recently moved houses after 15 years of living in Crawley and finally getting comfortable with the place. My parents very suddenly decided to move to Croydon without any prior notice. I had been attending Hazelwick, that's a school I taught at, and was really enjoying the company of people there and was genuinely upset when I left. I'm currently in a school that... Mort is at school.
Wow.
I'm currently in a...
Mort, maybe our youngest ever emailer.
Yeah.
Mort. My guy.
I'm currently in a school that I've joined halfway through during COVID, 1 year before my GCSEs, and I'd rather be back in my hometown. Do the Wolf and Owl have any tips on making new friends and stepping out of your comfort zone? Because I would, this is lovely. I would kill to have a friendship like you guys. Much love, wow. Mort. P.S. Paddington 2, one of my top 3 movies of all time. Doesn't mention anything about the German production of Age of Cannibals, but okay. I'm assuming it's in the top 10 or something.
I think that one of the first things that we could potentially do as one of our youngest writers, and we, you know, as you all know, our listeners are our family, you are our kin, you could potentially move in Romesh's house in Crawley.
He's moved out of Crawley.
Yeah, yeah, but he could move in with you and go back to his old school.
What? So what? I'm adopting him?
He could go and live with you, though. No, you haven't got to adopt him. He just lives with you 5 days a week, right. You and Lisa and the boys. And then he travels back. You drop him in Croydon like Friday night and pick him up on Monday morning.
Like a divorcee?
Yeah. Like he's your oldest kid. It'd be good for the boys. Be good for like the three, you know, because on the basis that they've got an older kid who's sort of a little bit more wily, and he'll know older kids within the school that they might go to, right?
Yeah, okay. So there's that offer there. Let's look into the legalities of that more. If you're up for that, get in touch.
Obviously, you'd have to speak to his parents as well.
Yeah, yeah. You check with your parents more and then come back to me.
Email in again. But that could be good. Have you got a spare room?
No. But Mort can bunk up with Lisa and I'll sleep downstairs.
Cut to Mort sitting with his parents going, please.
Now, Mort, let me tell you something. I had exactly the same thing happen to me. I changed schools midway through my GCSEs because my dad had everything went tits up for my dad. And so I ended up having to move schools. And it's hard. It is hard. I don't know how long you've been at this school for, Mort, but what I'm going to tell you is you will make friends quickly, you know, because at that age, friendships get made quickly. I know it's difficult because my eldest son is going through something very similar because he's gone to a secondary school, started this year, and he's decided to go to he's going to a secondary school where none of the kids he went to primary school with are at. So he's having that same situation where he's trying to make friends and stuff. It'll happen. I know it feels weird because you're out of your comfort zone and all of these things are very unfamiliar, and there's a comfort in knowing things backwards. There's a comfort in seeing familiar faces. Of course there is. You will start to feel like that about this new place very, very quickly. So, you know, I can't give you any advice to make it feel better immediately, but I can promise you that it will start to feel better. So, you know, that
would be. And I would say this more. This will, in your life development and your skills going forward, this will be an amazing thing because it will give you, you know, you've had to step out of your comfort zone at a young age. And I'd say that one of Romesh's main skills is he's very affable in a lot of, you know, in any situation I've ever seen him in. He's very, although he may not sort of agree with it, but he's very comfortable. He's great with people. And some of that will be down to the fact that at a young age he's had to go and do that. I mean, if I'm honest with you, I stayed at the same school for my whole secondary school and constantly had to find new friends because I was annoying the old ones. I started off being friends with kids who are 4 years older.
Just working your way through the year group. Well, that's another group done.
Until I was like in the final year of school, hanging around with a load of year sixes. But look, the truth of the matter is, it's I guess it's again, it's that thing of just, you know, if you've got any hobbies you do or bits you do, sports you play, that's always a great way of getting in with people. And if it's not sports, it's, you know, it's picking the right group. But also you can be a bit fussy and also make yourself epically cool, you know, make people come to you. That's what I'd say. That's the other one.
Yeah.
Make yourself like the most exclusive bar in Las Vegas that everyone wants to come to. That's what you should do. Everyone should do. That's a little bit of everyone.
Quite a complicated instruction. But if you can, if you can follow that more, that advice to become like the most exclusive bar in Las Vegas, then give that a go. Keep in touch, Mort. Let us know how it's going, man.
And also, obviously, the offer's there for to live with Romesh for a little bit. I mean, it's not even long because he's only doing his GCSEs. Obviously, it'll be longer if he stayed at sixth form.
Yeah. I think maybe, you know, do GCSEs and then go to a college in Croydon, I think. Would help me out. Next email is from Tom. Thomas, actually, but Thomas. Dear Wolf, Owl and Swan, Love the podcast, et cetera, says some very nice things. Based on Tom's reaction to most people who email in, I get the sense he's a very positive, glass half full kind of guy and sees the best in people. My question is, have either of you had a good first impression of someone only to realise they're a total bell end? Or the other way around, where someone has redeemed themselves from a bad first impression? For context, when I first met my soon-to-be wife, she thought I was gay. And when I met my best man at uni, I thought he was going to be a clingy nerd. Keep doing you. Thomas.
Thomas, great question. Actually, this is my top five questions of all time on this podcast. Shout out to you.
Fucking hell.
And you know what? First impressions, like everyone says, oh, first this whole squalor and squander about first impressions meaning everything. I think the fact is some of my favourite friendships and favourite life souls are people that maybe, I didn't sort of click with first of all, and we've had to sort of take that time to develop a relationship. There's been people that I've been infatuated with or I thought, oh my God, this person's going to be a friend for life. This person's incredible. And then sort of slowly and surely they've proved me wrong and they turned out to be a massive bellend or a massive tool. And, you know, that's just, that is just life. I think the truth of the matter is people are complex and people are, I think we're, going back to young Mort's email, I think we're even as the older we get, whatever, I think this whole sort of like, what's your first impression of someone? I think it's that impression is never the accurate impression of what the person is. It's an impression of what you want them to be. I think that's the thing with life that I'd say. So you can build up a quite spectacular sort of way of imagining what your friendship's like or what, if they're going to be. So even sometimes before you've met them, you've built up a scenario in your head. And actually the truth of the matter is people are always going to fall short or they're going to fall long of that. And the truth of the matter is everything's built upon every friendship. Like, my friendship with Ramesh is genuinely one of my favourite friendships of my life. But, we met on the circuit and we were pals and used to love when I used to gig with him. And then when we went to the job together in Manchester, we were sort of thrown together on a basis that everyone else thought we were a couple of fucking idiots and losers. And but it's really solidified our relationship. And everyone else on that job, this is going back quite a few years, had quite a big profile. So you sort of like going into it, and I knew Rom and me were at a similar level of our careers, but we were sort of certainly at the bottom rung of that whole thing. Mm. And everyone else had a bigger profile. So in my head, I'd already gone, oh my God, this person, we're really excited to meet them. And all of those people, without being harsh, all of them fell short of what I thought they'd be. Whereas Ramesh there, was just an absolute rock and an absolute legend and was just a joy to be around. So, not to say that everyone there, I've subsequently worked with them or seen them again and get on with them, but it's, it's life. It's just, I think. And sometimes, one of my favourite things is my blossoming friendship with Thierry Henry. So,
don't do this.
No, just saying that. I never thought we'd be friends, but obviously we texted each other.
So, just to give this some context, which Tom obviously knew that I would do. He's just thrown that out there. Tom, Thierry Henry came onto Tom's show, Redknapp's Big Night Out, and since then, Tom Davis and Thierry Henry have become besties.
Well, not besties. We text a bit, and he's just, But I was like, this guy's so epically cool, and and I'm not. It was like, but it's a friendship built on me thinking he's amazing, and him thinking that, this guy seems like he'd do most things for me.
do you reply to his text straight away?
No, well, not always. No, I'm the same as with anyone. Genuinely, the story is he was talking about everyone on the show and he was saying amazing things about everyone. And then he got to me and went, Tom, you're just a very normal man, a very average guy, just a very normal person who's just here, like with life. And I was like, oh, thank
you. Sorry, was he doing an impression of Ivan Drago?
Yeah. He's an incredible impressionist.
Did he then finish off by going, you will lose?
If he does, he does. My voice is so deep, it's really hard to get that.
Sure.
That Gaelic twang. And then he said to me that, it was just because he said, you're the same with everyone. And that is what I like about you. You don't treat me any differently from anybody else. Mm. And that was the beginning of, So
Yeah. Let's be honest. He's wrong about that. You don't treat him differently to anyone else, because if you did treat him the same as everyone else, you'd be telling me about anybody else you've started texting on this fucking podcast. Maybe let him know that you've decided to do an announcement. Do you know what I mean? Anyway, congratulations on fucking becoming mates with one of my favourite ever players of all time, you prick. In answer to your question, Thomas, see, one of the things is people think that I'm the sort of the horrible one of us two, because whenever somebody emails in, you always go, you're an amazing person, we should meet up, let's come round to my house or whatever. And I don't do that. And one of the reasons I don't do that is because I value sort of the safety and well-being of my family. But one of the other things is I don't have a negative impression of people, but I do think it's easy to get carried away and think that somebody's going to be, I don't know. I'm about to sound like I'm going to say, are people disappoint you or whatever? But I just think when you meet somebody and you really get on, it's very easy to think, oh, this person's going to be a really good mate or whatever. And you put too much pressure on that and you expect too much of people. I just think it's better to be a bit measured about these things, you know? And the truth is, it's like, you know, when Tom talks about when we met on that job in Manchester or whatever, it wasn't like, you know, you sort of think, oh, we really do get on and it feels like we could be mates. And I don't know. Like, I think you just sort of, you got to take things as they come. I don't think you should put too much pressure on that sort of thing, you know? And actually, there's been times when I've said, you know, in terms of friends, I'm no longer in the market.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. What is it? Just a closed shop now?
Pretty much.
How long has that been since you? I mean, look, I'm always open for more friends. I mean, I find it hard to keep on top of the ones that I've got.
You surprised me.
No, but I always think, right, we've got to think of our lives as that we are in an ocean, right? And, you know, say that you are a dolphin, right? And you're a pride of dolphins, you know, and you're all swimming around with the dolphins. And one day you, like, you know, nudge up and you meet a whale and you get on really, really well with them. And you're like, oh, fucking hell, actually, whales are cool. And then before you know it, you're a dolphin and you've got, like, a couple of mates if you're ever, like, in the southern hemisphere, that you hang around with whales. Do you know what I mean? And then one day you meet a shark and you're like, oh, everyone be careful of sharks. They're horrible. And you meet the shark and, like, you know, the shark's
actually are you just doing the plot of Finding Nemo?
What I'm saying, yeah, is don't judge a fish before you've seen them. And by fish, I'm a human. By, like,
yeah. Yeah, but also the other thing is none of the creatures you named are fish. They're all mammals.
Right.
Oh no, sorry, a shark is a fish, to be fair. A shark
is a fish. Okay. But what I'm saying, right? It's mammals can be friends with fish, right? Because my last one was this one and
my
last one is like, yeah, and then basically you are like this dolphin who's got mates like who are whales and sharks and dolphins.
Mm.
One day is like swimming down the Suez Canal. What's the canal?
So what's this story? So there's a shark swimming down the Suez Canal.
Suez Canal, yeah, like yeah. A dolphin.
A dolphin.
And like, he's no, because he's just having a bowl about the ocean.
Yeah.
And then one day he sort of like puts his head up and there's like a giraffe there. He just makes friends
in
with
the
him.
Suez on the banks of the Suez Canal. There's a giraffe.
Well, yeah, or a camel, whatever, right? And he's just there. He makes friends with him, right? And basically there he's like, oh, I actually got really well with him. And I always thought anyone who was on land was an arsehole because, you know, obviously like because of conspiracy and stuff. Right. So what I'm saying is open your heart and always be ready for new boundaries and new friendships.
Yeah. So, yeah, if you're a dolphin that's watched Seaspiracy and therefore thinks that everyone on land is an arsehole, try and be a little bit more open-minded. Anyway, listen, I was only joking. I'm always open to making new friends. I'm just saying, you know,
I think we've just made a new friend in Thomas.
Yeah, we have, but I guess the advice I'm trying to give you, Thomas, in summary is don't put too much pressure on these things, mate. Rom and Tom, I like both of your work. This is funny, actually. Murdering Successful is amazing. And the latest few series of The Ranganation have been great. I even watched and didn't mind Judge Romesh. I was not aware about this podcast until...
Oh, fuck you. What sad indictment of the... I even watched and didn't actually mind.
Well, thank you. I'm so glad that it didn't make you throw up. I wasn't aware of this podcast until a few weeks ago. Anyway, to listen to that many episodes is quite good for me, considering I have a 2.5-year-old Isabel and a 6-month-old Finley. I feel like the two bits of content I've been ingesting recently, the most, are your podcast and Moana, which seems to be on our TV at least once a day. It has some banging tunes in it, but I feel it won't be long until it's ruined for me by overplaying. I like Moana. It's great.
It's a great film.
It's a
wonderful piece of
film. You're welcome. Thanks for the podcast. Wow. I have some questions for you, fine gentlemen. So actually, most of the email has given us a bit of background. Questions are right at the bottom here. How much alcohol do you drink on average during the week? I try and not drink Monday to Thursday, but usually fail, although I do have 2 small kids. I don't think I drink loads. A few beers Friday and Saturday and some wine Sunday, but I'm curious to what you guys drink. Hoping it'll be loads and make me feel better. That's the first question.
I'm up and down with booze, if I'm honest. Like, I'll go through spates where I indulge a little bit more. At the moment, probably on a Monday, I'll have a few drinks after we did a Redknapp show. I had a couple of beers yesterday.
Mm. Had a couple of beers yesterday?
Yeah, yesterday lunchtime.
And you're out tonight, eh?
No, I'm out tomorrow for a few beers. And then I've got a party Saturday. So yeah, we'll have a few beers over the this week. But then the week before, I didn't drink anything. So it's very much I wouldn't say that I really seriously indulge. What's the ones, you know, where you'll drink a lot at sort of like certain times, an binge. Indulger or binge, that's it. I'm quite a binge drinker, I guess. I will burn the life out of it and then turn around and go, actually, I'm not going to do this for like 3-4 months, and then I can abstain, and I'm pretty good with not drinking.
So I went out last night, as you know, and I was with a friend of the Wolf and Al, Jeff Norcott.
Yes.
And we had a curry, right?
Yeah.
And we had 2 beers as we were eating the curry, and those first 2 beers went down beautifully. And then he ordered a 3rd beer, and I had eaten quite a lot of curry, but the 3rd beer, it felt... I don't know how to explain it. Do you ever have that thing where you're so full up, feel so uncomfortable, that actually even looking at the glass of beer made me feel horrible? Do you know what I mean? I was just I'm a bit, the alcohol's starting to kick in a bit. I'm looking at that pint and thinking, I don't want to finish it. It's sitting there fucking looking at me. I feel rank. And then Jeff said to me, do you fancy, after finishing beer, goes, do you fancy having a gin and tonic instead? And the words gin and tonic just made me feel immediately better. It's just something about drinking that quantity of beer with curry. I found it so stressful. And then I drank so many gin and tonics. It was just,
how many did you have?
7.
Oof, boy. My worst thing is I'm a pint man. Genuinely, that is my...
You don't move off the pints, do you? You can just keep going.
Genuinely, that's my... But it's a real problem, isn't it? That is...
I don't think it is a problem.
Out on the session... Yeah. And then that's why I carry so much weight, because my mates will hit on, go on red wine, or they'll go on whiskeys or whatever, or a cocktail. My wife will always drink like rosé, and I'll just be leathering. I'll go pint for pint with anyone like that. But that's you think about the sheer amount of, you know, a pint is massive. And like, during the day, I'll probably have 5-6 pints of water. Yeah, in a session, I could have like 12, 13 pints.
13 sort of. Pints?
Yeah.
And then what state are you in after that?
To be fair, I was drunk, but I'm not leathered. Once you, I'd say there's certain drinks you get me on, and I'm just gone. Just absolutely gone.
Like what? What's your trigger drink?
Red wine, man. I'm just like, oh. Red wine is just a really bad one for me.
Oh, mate. When you come around to Shea Ranga for dinner that night. El Vino will fly. I want to see red wine, Tom. You're going to come around for dinner. I'm going to give you some red wine, and then I'm going to get my laptop out, and we're going to fucking record Red Wine Tom.
That'd be nice. Nice red wine's good, though. You don't get a hangover, do you?
Is that what? What are you talking about?
Nice red wine. You don't get as bad. The trigger of wine is the nicer you drink, the less bad your hangover is.
Complete bollocks.
No, it's true. It's the grapes that you use. I'm not saying it has to be even the most expensive, but you've got to look at the sort of grapes. Because if it's a really, really like sort of bad grape from a bad area, it will give it, it's like anything. It's more of a toxin. The toxins aren't the same. Or they've used more additives to make it taste better.
Is that true?
Really? Yeah, genuinely, it's really true. An Italian man told me.
Okay. Well, there you go. That's it. That must be true then, because Tom's had a chat with Gino DeCampo. We all have to take that as gospel. Okay. He has actually got a second question.
Yeah.
If you could only use one condiment for the rest of your life, not including salt, pepper, what would you have and why?
Ketchup. Without a doubt, ketchup. Like, there's others that I look at and I go, yeah, mustard is an absolute G. Brown sauce is absolutely delicious at times. Barbecue sauce, sweet chili. These are condiments that I admire and I fucking hold dear to my heart. But if there could only be one, ketchup goes with everything, from a roast dinner to a bacon sandwich.
Doesn't go with a roast dinner.
It does. I'm not saying have it all the time, but you have ketchup with roast dinner. It doesn't embarrass itself.
How would it embarrass itself?
Well, I'm just saying.
But hold on. Okay, so if you put brown sauce on there, would brown sauce embarrass itself on a roast dinner?
Not on a roast dinner, I don't think brown sauce would. But there's some stuff you couldn't have brown sauce with spaghetti and bolognese.
No, that's true. Pizza. But neither would you have ketchup.
You could have ketchup on a spaghetti bolognese.
You can, but you're it makes you a fucking lunatic.
No, but it wouldn't embarrass itself. You know what I'm saying? If you couldn't have brown sauce with pizza, it'd embarrass itself.
You can't have ketchup with a pizza.
Yeah, you can, but it doesn't. Yeah, I'm not saying do it. I'm just saying if you did, it doesn't embarrass itself.
But this is weird new criteria you've made up. It doesn't embarrass itself. And then you're just fucking throwing it out. Oh, it doesn't embarrass. I'm not saying you should. I'm not saying it makes it better. I'm not saying you'd enjoy it, but it doesn't embarrass itself. What are you talking about?
No, I'm just right. Give me three different. Give me three different scenarios, and then we'll do different sauces with them. Three different meals. Go on. Meal one. Go.
Lasagna.
Ketchup goes all day. You couldn't have brown sauce. You couldn't have barbecue. You couldn't have mustard with it. Couldn't have sweet chili sauce. Doesn't work, but ketchup does.
Okay. Curry.
Curry. Yeah, ketchup would still work with certain curries.
Tell me the curry that you'd have ketchup with.
I might put it on a bit of masala to give it a little bit more sweetness. I'll tell you what, I might even dip my onion bhajis or my samosas in it in ketchup if I didn't have any mango chutney. And ketchup wouldn't embarrass itself. But mustard, you wouldn't have mustard with curry because you've already got the heat. You wouldn't have barbecue sauce. You certainly wouldn't have mayonnaise with a curry, would you?
I would argue barbecue sauce on a samosa could be pretty delightful.
Yeah, but then barbecue sauce you couldn't have with macaroni cheese.
You can't. Okay.
You have ketchup macaroni. Try ketchup. Stir ketchup into macaroni cheese. It's life changing.
Okay. And then sushi.
Of course you'd have ketchup. I've had ketchup with sushi.
Yeah, of course you have. Yeah, I was giving you an easy one to go out on.
I always have like three or four sachets of ketchup, like in a little bag that I carry around with me.
In a little bag?
Like, I have my bag, but then I'll carry like, I've got like a little, like a thing with some ketchup.
Okay. Because ketchup is famously difficult to get hold of in food establishments.
No, but certain places don't do it or they frown if you ask.
Right, okay.
There's certain restaurants you go to.
I think the same as you, except for just insert hot sauce where you've said tomato ketchup. All of those meals you can add hot sauce to and it's great.
Yeah, but sometimes, like, I do agree with you. I'm not even going to pour scorn on what you've said, but I will say this. You don't always fancy the heat, right? So you're going to sit there and you look at your fish and chips and you go, oh, I'm going to have hot sauce on my fish and chips.
Yeah.
But you don't really fancy heat.
I can't imagine a time when I would not fancy heat.
Wow. Yeah, but that's you. This is me. I'm just saying that's a bit abnormal. It's a bit crazy, but
yeah, sure.
Would you have hot sauce?
Sure. Sure. It's a bit crazy, but dipping your samosa in tomato ketchup is fine. Can I at this point give a shout out to Mark the Rib Man for his holy fuck hot sauce? We love it.
Yeah, that is incredible, by the way. That is amazing. I don't know if you listen to this podcast, but also get us a couple of those hats sent out, bro. Those hats are sick. Really nice hats.
Okay, last email.
Hit us up, baby. Hit me up.
This is anonymous. Dear Romy, Tommy and Lisa, firstly, just want to say thanks for the heads up on Crosstown Donuts. I was treated to a dark chocolate number the other day, that's my nickname at school, which was delicious and miles ahead of that artificial tasting Krispy Kreme shit. I have another neighbour related question for you guys. For context, we have had new neighbours move into our block. The new people that now live above us always decide to undertake some extreme DIY from around 4 p.m. on weekdays. This is obviously extremely annoying as we try and have a chilled one in the evenings after work. but instead have to put up with constant banging, crashing and drilling. At times, the noise can go on until 11 p.m. and as a light sleeper, it's very frustrating, especially as my other half seems to be able to sleep through pretty much anything. We have not spoken to them yet. However, a couple of weeks ago, my other half went upstairs and knocked on the door to politely ask them to keep the noise down. However, they did not open the door. They definitely heard the knock as they went quiet briefly before starting up again minutes later. Other than moving house, what can we do to regain our sanity within our home? I can feel myself getting more and more worked up about it, and I think any sort of contact with the neighbour has the potential to come off as quite aggressive due to my naturally sarcastic tone of, well, I mean, yeah, join the club on that one. Great podcast. Cheers, Anon.
Anon. Yo. This is a real dilemma. Me and my wife, actually, we had a dickhead who used to live above us. If without being coarse, he was often doing a drilling of a different kind,
was he doing fracking?
if you were
fracking the shit out of someone.
Again, it could sound like fracking if you had just the right dialect. He would.
So was it quite? Was it quite moaning?
Yeah, it was him moaning. It was always him like moaning. So,
oh God! Really?
Yeah.
Like what? Like, really... give me an impression of that voice.
And sometimes I think he was on his own. But
so what? Do you think he was making that noise while wanking?
Yeah, I think sometimes.
Oh my God! Really?
Yeah. He was a strange guy. But also, he would also do DIY. He would constantly walk around with like a little pair of cycling shorts on. Like, he was a strange pod. And you know what? I think I said to him once about making a racket. We, in the end, it was one of the reasons we moved out of that flat, because we just couldn't. He was just so annoying as a human being, and sort of very passive aggressive as a person as well. Like, you know. But I don't think, you know, we were moving for other reasons. It wasn't just solely down to him. I think the first port of call is, I think, trying to sort of hold the sarcasm back and go and speak to these people, be, you know, hard but fair, and sort of say, you know, I think even I remember when I brought up with him, it was sort of, and he was sort of borderline psychotic. I think he for a while, he sort of watched his behaviour. I think the truth of the matter is, though, that if they're not answering the door and they're making that kind of racket, that they're, you know, you try another couple of times, they don't. I mean, it's whether you... Yeah. A letter's always the worst thing you can do, isn't it? I suppose it's waiting around for them to come back one day and then just sort of trying to sort of chat to them as they come through the doors. That could work.
Yeah, could work. I mean, did you ever do the thing where you knock on the... You know, you get the broom and, like...
No, that's so aggressive.
Is it?
So aggressive. Yeah, that's... I mean, living in a flat, you do that, you're just fucking... You know, that is just...
Is that the worst thing? Is that what...
You might as well take your shit through their letterbox.
Well, you would take the shit first and then take it. You wouldn't actually bend over and try and get it through the letterbox.
No. Oh, yeah, we'd take the shit and then probably put in some sort of packaging and put it... Yeah.
That's bad. What I just said is bad.
I mean, you're very sarcastic. You're probably one of the... Yeah, at times.
Who? Me?
Yeah. Yeah, you've got sort of a sarky little tone to your voice at times, right? How would you deal with this? Can you strip back your sarcasm at times?
Yeah. Yeah. Do you want me to do it? Do you want to do it now?
Yeah. Say I'm the neighbour and you knock on the door.
Okay.
Hello, mate. You all right?
Yeah, hey.
Oh, God.
Oh, I don't think we've actually spoken before. I'm Ramesh. Nice to meet you.
I've seen some of your stuff on TV.
Oh, cool. I hope you didn't hate it too much.
I actually enjoyed Misadventures. And actually, I watched Judge Ramesh, but I quite enjoyed it, actually, more than me and the wife thought we would.
Oh, cool. Yeah, Tom's he's a bit of a character, isn't he?
Yeah, he's really funny, isn't it?
So, listen, bit of a situation.
Yeah.
I don't know if you... I assume you guys are doing some sort of renovations or something.
Why would you say that?
Just because... Well, you know, obviously we're actually directly below you.
Oh, right, yeah.
And, you know, it sounds like you're having a bit of work done or you're doing...
Well, we're doing the work ourselves. We haven't all got the money that you have. So.
Yeah, well, you know, I haven't got that much money. I am living below you.
Are you trying to be sarcastic?
No. I was just joking. It's a joke. No, it's just...
Okay.
But I just wondered if there's any possibility of maybe, you know, is it like... Is there any way of finishing earlier or maybe trying to keep it down if there's way of soundproofing or something? It's just that...
Well, actually, what I'm building is a sound booth. so it will be quieter.
So what are you building the sound booth around?
I'm actually a DJ. So
you're a DJ?
Yeah, yeah. I'm Calvin Harris's cousin.
Okay, that's... Did you not grow up near each other?
No. My mum moved to England when she was 14. So, yeah.
So how much longer do you anticipate the work taking?
Probably another 2 weeks, maybe a month.
A month?
Yeah.
Is there any way of sort of changing the hours that you're doing it? Because obviously it's a bit of a... Sometimes
some of us have got proper jobs, mate.
Which is that sometimes you're going on till 11 o'clock and, you know, it feels a bit unreasonable, you know, in terms of...
Well, maybe if I finished at 9:30, would that be okay?
I think, you know, I mean, that would be amazing if you're able to sort of promise that you finish at 9:30. That'd be great.
Well, I'll do my best to do it. Give me £100 and I'll do it. I mean, see, actually, to be fair, you're a lot less sarcastic, but you couldn't help yourself. You were sarcastic in your, like, fourth thing that way.
Yeah. Okay.
But there was,
well, look,
a couple of little curveballs I threw in and you managed to not be sarcastic. So yeah, I mean, that's for Anonymous. That's a way of looking at it, mate, I'd imagine, and just being like quite, you know, trying to sort of.
Good luck, Anonymous. Hope that helps you.
Be back in touch, my brother.
Yeah. This has been the Wolf and Owl bonus episode.
Yeah, actually, I want to shout out the Swan because they were some of my favourite emails. They were, and, you know, they were really diverse and really fun. So shout out the Swan for your sterling work this week.
Thank you, Swan. Love you, Swan.
Your Swan. And you might even have a new house guest. Shout out Mort, Rang and Ethan.
Well, I don't think we demand that he changes his name. Thank you so much for listening to The Wolf and Owl. Goodbye.
Yo, you're our princes, you're our kings, you're our queens and princesses. Thank you. We must see you soon.
If you have a problem, opinion, feedback, or anything at all, please email us at wolfowlpod@gmail.com. That's wolfowlpod@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you, mainly because we don't have any content ideas. Thank you.